Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, how are you?
You know, I'm actually really good.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I'm coming at you with, you know, the fall spirit upon me. I'm feeling calm. I'm feeling, you know, just excited.
Your children are at school today for the first
time today.
That's what you're seeing in me.
That's the look of...
She got the look. Who dropped... No more of this patchwork quilt of summer.
God.
And like, I know, let the institutions take over. You know,
please,
let the grand institutions with layers of leadership and protocol
take over the fucking
managerial duties.
I know that we've said we weren't ready for, you know, fall to begin and we were so angry at back to school. But like, if school doesn't start, and start soon, I am going to lose. I'm going to have to be committed.
So you're not back yet?
Not until September 7th.
Oh.
I don't know what's... Am I in France? Like, I can't... This last week might break me. So I'm so glad I see the future in your eyes.
Yeah, take a look at me. Really drink me in.
I am in the...
Really drink me in. Because, like, there are... To turn over, you know... these children to like greater institutions. It felt really good. It scratches an itch for me. You know, I'm a Capricorn. Yes. So like love a clean drop off, love heading into a pickup, love
great.
Knowing there's a, you know, several layers of management.
Because I think the thing I'm struggling with the most during this endless summer that I'm on is that I am constantly worried that I'm not doing enough, that I got to get off the screens and teach. There are so many gaps in knowledge from the pandemic that I don't even know where the gaps are, but I know I'm responsible for them somehow. Mm-hmm. And I also don't have the time or energy to address them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we're standing on a gigantic slice of Swiss cheese and those holes are everywhere, you know, and I just can't do that. Someone else needs to take a fresh perspective
and say like, and take a stab at it. Give it the old college try. See what you can do.
And, you know, I have a lot of shame around my own gaps of knowledge.
As I said before, I believe on this very podcast, like there are times where I wish I could go, wish someone could send me away for 2 weeks, a 2 week adult camp.
Yeah.
And I could kind of get a download, watch the things that
what's balancing your checkbook. Remember, they was balance those things.
Oh, I've never balanced one checkbook in my life. But even just like there's certain things where I'm like, wow, I either wasn't in class that day. You know, I know Brooklyn Decker brings a lot of her, you know, gaps on that time she had Smoky Mountain fever.
Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Okay.
That kept her. That's the reason why she's relatable.
She seems to point there quite a bit. For me, I actually, you know, I think I said this last week, I blame a lot of my miseducation on the fact that I wasn't drinking coffee as a teenager. And I should have been.
Someone
needs to pay the pipe.
I couldn't, you know. Do you want to know a shame? If you put a map of the United States in front of me.
Don't ever do that to me, by the way.
When you get to the states that fit together like squares.
It all becomes a wash.
North Dakota,
South Dakota.
Okay, now you take me over to Europe. if we ain't talking about the boot of Italy, I don't know where I'm going to put things. Okay. There are gaps.
Listen, there are major gaps. And in fact, I have thought to myself, I'd like to take a cross-country trip with the kids to simply orient myself.
Yeah.
You know? Well, to simply orient myself. And I'm not proud of this, Deep Divers. This is not a celebration you're listening to right now.
I'm joking about this.
Nobody, this is dead fucking serious. There are, you know, blame the public school system. I don't know what happened, but I didn't learn a few things. Geography is a total wash for me.
I think they like did away with geography or something for us. And also like we only at the end of the year, so we would start... We would start at the beginning of time and then end at like the colonial era. Like I can tell you how you would make a corn husk doll, but that's where it's, but by the time you got to World War I, we're out. It's June and we are out for summer.
Oh, I have okay, so we so didn't many get issues really with to what I learned in terms of social studies and history.
Okay.
Like I wish somebody had said to me at any point, you know, the reason why this country is like so wealthy and a superpower is because of slave labor.
Yeah.
And think about that, like child, third grader, fourth grader. And just like let's think about that for a second. Look, I really bought into this, like American exceptionalism, all of this rigmarole. And I did not get a contextual, racial, I wasn't able to build that lens until, adulthood. And I really do blame the history books that I grew up with and honestly my parents, but I didn't, so that's something I do have the energy to engage my kids on that.
Oh, that I can do. But when
North Dakota, South
like,
Dakota, that I'm not that sure I can
ship
get
has
to.
Sailed.
Unless we're literally driving through it.
Time, telling time. I mean, hopefully there'll be someone nearby who... No.
Let me tell you though, let me tell you about time. In 1 week's time, you're going to feel great.
You're gonna feel great. Okay, because I'm the only place I feel like I have my center is on your pickleball court. And otherwise, I'm awash with anxiety. So I'm really, that's the only,
you know, we have
terra firma is that, is that asphalt.
Listen, Jess, I just want to say a few things because I know this has turned into pickleball podcast.
I know. I do need to be careful. Lennon gave us some feedback.
Feedback? What did she say?
Well, she said, I saw her for the first time in 2 months.
I didn't know
we
were getting reviews from Lennon. Okay, what did she say?
It's not a review, but she did say...
What'd she say? Cool it on the pickleball?
Well, I said, hey, I'd love to see how you are with racket sports. And she said, no. No. It's not for me. She doesn't like to... She doesn't want to like... play to win with adults. Okay. So I said, okay. But then she said, you know, you guys said we've been talking too much about pickleball. We need to move on. And when I looked down at my phone, that was at minute 25. And then you talked for another 40 minutes about pickleball. So I just thought she's giving me a gentle nudge that maybe we have become obsessed and that we're not looking outside and picking our head up and looking outside of ourselves and that not everybody else is thinking and talking about pickleball all the time.
Fuck.
You know, and then she tried to remind me that like as a Virgo, you know, I have a duty to like share important, she kept saying, hard important truths. Information with everybody. Important, that's my soul's purpose, she said. But I didn't know if that was referring back to the pickleball, like enough with the pickleball. I don't know. Just giving
that's really hard to hear. And so, God, I had so many competing thoughts today. I actually, when I was coming down and setting my equipment up, I thought to myself, should we change the title of the podcast? Because, I'm going to put a firm timer on this. We're going to do 2 minutes of pickleball. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Two minutes.
Okay,
this
for
is the
real,
pickleball
though.
Section.
For real.
Aside from our guests, but that's a whole other story. But we're going
to
do
I know, because then it was very difficult
minutes.
To then deliver the news to Lennon that our guest this week was solely about pickleball.
I feel so hurt. And I wish what she would think about, and I wish what all of you haters would consider, is that when we say pickleball, what we mean is community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So every time you hear the word pickleball, replace it in your mind, in your small fucking mind.
She's going to be so mad. She's going to say, that's not what I meant. And maybe I was putting my own stuff on her.
No, I am shaken by this. And I was expecting, like, actually, I was formulating a response today. I was waiting for someone we're close to say this to us. I really was.
Like an intervention.
Yes, I've been waiting for it. So I'm not surprised. I'm hurt, but I'm not surprised. So this morning as I was walking down here, I'm like, you know, I wonder if we could change, because pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. Could we change the title of the podcast?
Right.
Because I wonder if we would get some of those. Now, it's not that deep divers, I don't want our current deep divers to stay. We need you. But I'm just like, if we changed it, could we get more new listeners?
Right. That would then be like, wait a second. I thought this was a pickleball podcast, but now I'm crying. You know, and why? Why am I, you know, have them be a little lost, but then, yeah, I'm interested. Deep pickle. Maybe just change it for a couple weeks, see what we could get. Because people are probably searching.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's like people might search for it and might find us.
The other thing that's very crazy is people thought the picture that we put out of you, me, and Matt Walsh, thought it was a show about pickleball. That we were a pickleball, like a comedy about pickleball. And they were like, I'm here for it. And I had a couple people, not from my inner circle, text me, tell me about this new show. And I'm like, what would that show be about? Like, what, honestly, who would watch that show? And what would it possibly be about? Okay, so wait, let's just do our quick 2 minutes.
Okay. We can actually wrap it up for now because we are going to have to come back to it when we introduce our guest. But what we're going to, I really want people to consider it also as community and also as small talk. Like, it's a way into a larger conversation. And it's hard to get Jessica to arrive to things in person. And I want our deep divers to know that it's not every day you're going to see her in person.
On the east side, because it's an hour away. It's an hour away. That's right.
Yes, definitely on the east side. You know, the rest of the attendees really do walk there. So it's so lovely and wonderful to have, and I'm going to say this, to have a standing date with folks.
God,
that I love. Catch can. Come when you can. You can't come, no problem. But this is here.
It's the highlight of my week. To get to see you guys, to know that I'm going to have fun, and the children running around on Sunday, they were out of control. And my daughter was leading that charge.
Yes, she was.
Created what you would call the firing squad, which was, you know, and I showed up with her and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get a bunch of complaining and whining because there was a lot of boys. When we rolled in, there were boys playing basketball. I was like, fuck. Yeah. And then she and another pickleball player's 9-year-old daughter got together and BB said, what if we were to throw water balloons at the losers, the adults? And that was really intense.
And it turned out to be one of the best parts of the day to see the losers have to walk down to the lower level of my backyard.
Where the dogs run.
Where the dogs were running. And to see them have to stand there and get pummeled.
To the face.
Yeah,
and you said,
yeah.
You were like, don't get my face. Like, this is my moneymaker.
Yes. And she said I could cover my face, but I had to, it was like, that was on me, you know?
Yeah. It was great.
And I ran away because I did lose, you know, one match. We'll talk about that later, but I ran away and they got me. You know,
she said it was even worse because you didn't know it was coming. You turned and she said, I got her actual stomach.
Yes, she did.
She got flesh.
Yes, she did.
She made it was your flesh.
But it was a wonderful way to include the children. And it was a wonderful stake to add to the game.
Yeah, people didn't want it. And your sister said, like, gotta go take my medicine. And some adults said no. Just simply no, I will not get wet.
I didn't even know we could say no.
Your sister's husband said, I will not sit in wet clothes. This is ridiculous.
Well, he never had to, though, because he never lost. Yeah,
there you go. Oh, God. June, we have not talked about the most exciting thing, though, that is happening in the deep dive universe, which is the merch. We got merch, baby.
And Jess, you sent me a number of texts where you said, to quote, it was something like, I know it's so scary to have me in charge of something as important as merch.
Yes.
It was really scary process. The fact that we have ended up where we are is so shocking to me because you guys, I will give it, and this is all Jessica Sinclair, the merch is beautiful.
I wanted you to think it was pretty. I was so worried.
It's beyond pretty. It's beautiful. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait. Now, listen, who knew I could take on such a... It's detail-oriented. Okay?
This is your domain.
So it isn't.
Boy, did you pull it off.
Well, I had a vision about it. And I wanted us to have this gorgeous classic merch that our deep divers were going to love. And it was so important to me that it be high quality, okay? That it be soft, that it be a solid, gorgeous mug that feels good in the hand, okay? And then I found this company. Well, they found us, Kinship Goods. It's at Kinship Goods. So at K-I-N S-H-I-P Goods. And they're this company run by this beautiful couple, and they hand silk screen every shirt. They produce these beautiful things. So we have, oh my God, we have the softest sweatshirt you will ever put on your body.
And then, boy, is it beautiful.
A crisp white. I couldn't believe.
The sweatshirt is our hero item.
It really is.
It really is just the hero item for fall. And I couldn't be more excited. And I do feel deep divers. Like, I know there were many times where I was like, is this merch ever coming out? And I have to apologize to you, Jess, because you absolutely nailed it.
Thank you. God, thank you. I can't
believe you nailed it, my friend.
There's a vintage pin. And Nikki McDonald was our designer for this merch. But there's a little vintage pin that says, let us live. It's so adorable. I want to see it on a jean jacket. I want to see it on a tote. We have the most beautiful porcelain mug that's blue and white. It says, let us live. We have a water bottle, two versions of a water bottle. I mean, it's just...
When I got the box, I kept on texting Jess a number of times, like, can I have these? Like,
yes.
I couldn't believe, and I actually haven't taken mine out because I'm like, I didn't feel.
You're afraid. You actually said, so what happens? Do people order from us? Like, I don't know if you thought we were going to sell this merch out of the back of my Lexus. Like, this merch goes out on an actual platform where people will be able to buy it. And
then you sent me a picture of yourself in it. And I was like, oh, okay, she's wearing it. I can put this. I was scared to put it on.
Really, it's to be worn and it's to be drunk from and it's to be enjoyed. Okay. And there's more coming. Just so you know, this is just the first batch. There's fall rollout. Like, this is no joke.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
So anyway,
enjoy where the merch. Deep divers go.
Okay. So you are going to www.deepdive.kinshipgoods.com for all your fresh merch. I want pictures. I want you motherfuckers to take pictures of yourself looking fresh as fuck in this merch, sipping on your teas. I want it tagged in stories. Don't you send it to me if you haven't tagged me, because I need to repost it. You need to take your shit out of private to public to post it. You do that.
Yeah, we've taken our whole selves out of private into public. So you can do it for one fucking Instagram story.
Okay.
And I need you out to look private good. Into public. And that's going to be on a tee. Deep Divers, we're so excited. Can't wait for you to see it. Deep Divers, we have a really special guest with us. And I know we teased her on last week's episode, mm-hmm. but we got her in the flesh today. And I know this has officially turned into a pickleball podcast. No apologies there. She is a friend. She co-wrote Fed Up, which is a podcast that was recently number one on Apple Podcasts, which is hosted by the one and only Casey Wilson. And writing is certainly how she makes her living in Hollywood, but she would truly love to spend more time playing pickleball. Her name is Blair Beacon, and please welcome her to the podcast. Hi, Blair.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me.
Blair, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. We played pickleball yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was taking mental notes. Some I was saying out loud. Some I was just clocking
and
saving it for today.
I want to say that when Blair arrived, now I know Blair is the grand dame of pickleball. That's all I really know is that you were the first pioneer. You know, you were the one who found it. You've been doing it the longest. And I know that you dip in and out. You don't show up every Sunday. And when you do, you gently guide the community on what they may or may not know about the game. It reminded me of the scene in Shakespeare in Love when Queen Elizabeth shows up for the performance, the final performance where Gwyneth takes the stage. And she's, I believe, in some sort of a costume or a disguise. That's the pressure that I felt having Blair there, because she tried to kind of mix in like she was one of the crowd, but that is not at all what she is.
Wow. She's not treated as a civilian.
No, she's not.
But Blair, I want to talk about your experience bringing so many of us to the sport. But before we even get there, can you tell me, because I actually don't even think I know how you got into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where your relationship with pickleball started.
It started for me, actually. I have to give it up to my friend Chris Witowski. I don't know if either of you know him. He's a hilarious actor and writer. And he recruited three of us to play back in maybe November.
And this past November?
Yeah.
That recently?
Wow.
Yes. But when I tell you that he recruited me to play, I mean, my first session was 3.5 hours long, no breaks. Wow. And I went straight into playing 5-6 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Public courts with strangers. Like, my friends would go home and I would stay and play with, 12-year-old boys to 75-year-old men.
So good. And this was before pickleball was pickleball. Nobody was talking about it. J. Crew hadn't rolled out their line of clothing.
I guess that's my question. At that time, did anyone even know, what was the cultural understanding?
It wasn't blowing up like it is now. Now it's almost like a pyramid scheme. I tell one person and then they tell one person and it's...
I'm trying to make money off of it.
We're doing our
best.
Don't
think I'm not. I'm trying. I'm actually about to monetize it and capitalize on it. But I got my eye on it. Don't worry. But it really does feel that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. And at this point, I feel like you're losing money on it. But
with all the bagels, Blair, you're buying.
You're confused. That's a long-term investment.
Okay. And that will pay off. You have to spend money to make money. Yeah.
Now that it's become mainstream, is there a part of you that's I was doing this back when it was more rock and roll?
I have a little bit of that feeling I'm a little bit more rock and roll than what it is now. I also, something that I struggle with is right now, as being someone that you just compared to Queen Elizabeth, in my life, I struggle with riding this fine line of being a know-it-all and being helpful. And so when I'm there,
I relate to this.
Yeah. So
do you relate to it, or are you just okay being a know-it-all? Because June's yelling out like criticisms, and then she tells me I'm talking too much on the court.
And I think I'm a know-it-all. So, I mean, there's days where I had to say to one of the gals that I barely know yesterday, I had to check in with her to say, am I going overboard with the feedback? And she said she liked it. But again, she doesn't know me. So she kind of had to give me that. So it is hard
for me sometimes.
You have
a much friendlier touch than I do.
Yeah.
And I think that so you get away with a lot more.
Wow. Okay.
I loved your feedback. In fact, I felt like it was illegal. I was getting such wonderful guidance, you know, that I need it. With June, it's like, you know, look alive out there, or like, don't, your mental game's falling apart. Like, she's not, you know, it's so harsh. It's a lot like when like your dad forces you into professional sports and it's just like, you know, really more attacking your person than you are, than they are building you up.
I struggle with that.
Yeah. And I relate to it. I do. I relate to that. And I can't tell you that this is the feedback I needed. So to hear that you guys
I don't think you have to worry about your touch.
No, the fact that you're worried about it means you're
says
not
everything because I'm not worried.
Yeah, she does.
And that's why I'm on the other end. So it's clear. Yeah. Okay, wait. So I'm so sorry. I want to even back up a little further. So you start. Okay, so your friend recruits you. And that's interesting to be recruited into a sport. You know, I wasn't recruited. I sort of like wormed my way in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I should actually say he did start by asking two of our other guy friends. I caught wind of it. And I love a sport. I fancy myself to be pretty athletic. Yep, and these are kind of guys that I'm thinking, well, if you guys are playing.
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you kindly.
So I came in, I did my homework before they had played maybe two or three times before I did, but I did my homework. I watched my videos. I wanted to come in
strong.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want anyone waiting for me or feeling like they need to teach me how to play. And they were kind of being like, so Blair, how it works. And I would be like, da-da-da-da-da-da. I know.
Yeah.
And so that's how I came into the game. And, and then I got, since then, one of the guys that I started with, he fell off pretty quickly. He started out actually as the strongest player with a tennis background, but he wasn't picking up on some of the things. And if he were to listen to this, he'd be unhappy with me, but he wasn't picking up on some of the pickleball strategy. And if you don't pick up on that, you're going to get left behind. You can't play tennis.
Well, that's what you were telling me.
Not play
Blair,
tennis
that's what you were telling
court.
Me. It's so much more about strategy than it is about brute force and a good stroke.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing you guys Wimbledon level form sometimes, but when you continue to hit it to the guy who's going to slam it to you at the net, like, what are you doing?
Bingo.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
And what are you doing?
And Jessica, to see you doing that over and over yesterday, it's tough.
You fight. It was tough.
You finally had to say something, because that's a dad that doesn't give a fuck if you are a friend or a foe. He is like ready to kill you on that court.
Yeah, you got slammed pretty hard.
I'd been hit multiple times on the body. And you finally said, if you keep lobbing it to him, he will keep doing this. You got to get it. You got to dink him.
You do. You
don't
have
be
to
afraid
dink.
To dink.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's the number one shot in the game.
Which I don't even know yet. I don't even know a dink from a dink. I don't.
Okay. There's so much to say. I can't even organize my thoughts. I'm so.
But isn't that how? Isn't
that? Hold on.
Can I just say this, though?
Yes.
Isn't that how women need to move in the world? We can't always meet force with force, and we have to be creative sometimes about how we win the game. And that's, I'm noticing that on the court.
No, listen, I will argue though that there's a time and a place for a dink, and there's also a time and a place for if you're being set up to slam it.
Sure.
Then it's time to take that shot.
Right.
You know, right down the middle, right at someone's foot.
Oh, right. 100%.
You know, there's a time and a place.
I mean, the thing is you should be dinking, which for people that don't know what a dink is, it's just kind of like a underhand lift over the net into the kitchen so that the ball can't be attacked back at you. So you should be dinking back and forth until there's a ball that is
high enough to slam.
Yeah, high enough to attack. And I mean, anytime the ball's as high as the net, that's an attack. And if you sit on that, if you're sleeping on that, you're sleeping on that. And
yeah, so. Yeah, we can't help you, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I have to take it back because now we're getting into the nitty gritty. We're talking about Jessica's game. And I know, and I want your feedback, Blair, but I don't want it right now. Okay.
She doesn't ever
no,
want it.
I do want she it. Did. I don't want it right now.
Yeah, I tried to get her to small talk. She told me she's the fucking queen of small talk.
I don't want it right now because I'm also working through a broken toe. And I know before it says like, oh, I'm not going to blame anything on my toe because I did still win with a broken toe. But I now this week, my toe is actually really hurting me. Okay, who cares?
Right? But can I say something about that? Actually, yeah. June, I completely forgot about the broken toe yesterday. And so I think that says a lot about you. I mean, you played great. Yes. Your spirits
except
were...
she brought it up today.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that.
She didn't stop. You didn't stop herself from bringing it up today.
You know, I guess we will talk about my game for a second. And I am open to hearing feedback. I'm scared. I'm really scared. I will say that I find... now, the way I've been structuring the tournaments at my home for the last couple of weeks is pulling names out of a hat. And I believe like that's fun and equitable. And you're going to get who you get. Now, a lot of times that's going to depend on who arrives early, you know, because your name might be called. Like Matt McConkie had a chance to play with Blair, but he wasn't on time. And so I had to put his name back in the hat.
Right.
And that's a lesson for us all. Like if you might miss when your name is called, if you are not on time for things.
Right.
And Blair, you're always very punctual. And I appreciate it. I can count on Blair often as I'm always first guest.
Yeah.
And there's a real importance in being first guest. You know?
Yeah, but I'm also very nervous because you did a tirade about how someone showed up a little bit early and then you were pissed about it. I give you 15 to 20 minutes after 9:30 because I don't know if you mean 9:30. I think you mean 10.
Well, this is a great way. We're airing, guys. This is the most real we've ever got.
And
this
now
is the most, this is a dangerous conversation. I'm going to say something.
Well,
I say 9:30, I mean 9:30.
I thought you meant 10. I'm
but
on
what
this
I don't mean
here,
is don't you fucking dare get here at 9:29.
Okay. I feel like this is dangerous because I'm wondering if I was maybe the one that showed up at 9:29 one week.
You've never shown up at 9:29.
Okay.
You've always been 9:30 or after.
I've been early, I've been first.
You're not been early. You've been on time.
Okay. Because I've been first more than once, and it's, you know.
Which I appreciate.
Okay, thank God.
Casey shows up at 2 p.m. The sun is dipping behind the mountains by the time she shows up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Casey also shows up 2 hours late and is also making requests on who her partner is. The golf. It's
like you get what you get, and you don't get upset, sweetie.
Wow. She also tried to hit a chocolate croissant out of my hand. Out of my hand and said, you can put that down. You've had enough.
You know what, Jess? I'm going to give you and myself a note. Let's stop talking and let's turn the floor over to Blair because this is getting so fucking ridiculous. Blair, what I wanted to know, let's go back a little bit. You first, your friend recruits you or you recruit yourself into the game. And then, and what was it about playing that kept you there for 3 hours and beyond?
You know, I think the best thing about pickleball is that it is a sport where unathletic, athletic, tennis background or not, if you
ping-pong
go to play
background,
yeah, if you go to play for the first time, you're going to be able to play a game. What other sport can you do that? You know, if I went to play tennis, I mean, we'd maybe get a couple volleys in, but to play a game on the first time, it would be ugly, you know, but pickleball, anybody can play, and you can play a game of doubles the first time you play.
Even a child. We had children come on who had never picked up a racket and were getting it over the net. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And like back and forth, and you can score. And and it's a game where it's almost like you don't know what you don't know. So like when you think you're playing that first time, are you really playing pickleball? Yeah, probably not.
So true. I thought I was.
We all did. You think? It's not until you leave. It's not until you step outside of your, what is the word? Your little circle, and you play outside of your circle that you realize, oh.
Your bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, I thought like, well, we're like when I was playing with my group, my first group, we were playing each other all the time and we thought we were getting really good. We thought we knew the game. I was cocky. I decided to play some of the other men at the court where I was like, let me show these guys what's up. And then I got my ass handed to me. And
yes,
that brought me back down. And
but gets you stronger because you have to play against people who are better than you if you're going to want to, you know.
100%. And I'm someone who's open to feedback too. So I would let these men who were dying to tell me how to play the game. I hated them, but I let them do that.
Sure.
To me.
Sure. That was
I wanted to stab them in the eyeballs, but I let them speak.
Because I did want some of that information.
What's so nice about your position at my court, and I do want to talk about the actual court, because one of the, you know, I live in, listen, I know a lot of people have complaints about my home court that I've built, again, for my friend and my community to play at. Again, invested like quite a few dollars into, and have changed some landscaping and all sorts of things to make it comfortable.
Which
and
I
code, but you know, I do believe Blair, out of everyone, out of all of the players who show up, you have been the most supportive of the court.
Wow. Well, I see. I've
of
played
the infrastructure.
At
infrastructure.
I've played at another driveway court. And
I yours prefer is, home court.
Yeah, another home court. Yeah. Yours is, I mean, it is exceptional. Your net, it's nice. It's a nice net.
It's a level playing field.
And
it's
I heard from others that you had some complaints about sagging nets. And if you don't think I'm out there,
both in your own face and that net don't have a sagging net.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, when I see a sagging net, I'm just sort of thinking like, we're all seeing this, right? And we're going to let it, you know, like.
When a simple crank will have us back in business.
Yeah.
Wait, let me ask you this, Blair. A deep diver wrote in. So cute. These deep divers are buying their rackets and they're getting on the courts. She said, I want to put a home court in, but I do not have the space to make it regulation. Is it okay to work with the space I have?
Mine's a foot off.
And I said, okay, because they were very concerned. I said, I will ask our expert who we're having on this. What do you think?
Well, that is interesting that you say that it's a foot off, June. I didn't know that. In length?
It is. In length, width, it's a foot off in length.
Okay, and
but the
I think
kitchen
I felt
is actually
that.
You felt
she
that
felt
you
that.
Felt
oh my god, felt that yesterday. I had a couple of returns and I was like, that's how I hit my deep returns, and they're flying a little bit out of bounds. But
wow, so now here I just said you've been nothing but supportive about the home court, and now I seem to be getting some.
No, I still am blown away by it.
Yeah, no, it is a foot off. But I tried to readjust the dimensions so that the kitchen. Now, this was math I haven't done since I was in. I mean, I don't know if I ever did it. But I was like, ooh, okay, so I don't quite have the right length. I have the right width. But I almost have the right length. But I want to make sure. Like the kitchen is proportional. So even though it's a foot off, the kitchen is proportional to which was no easy feat to figure that out.
You had to get the protractor out. You talk about gaps. That's not one of them.
I'm sure there are deep divers and mathematicians and smarter people than me who are like, oh, that's the easiest thing in the world to figure out. For me, it was a bit of a challenge.
No, I could have
never done it. Well, I guess my answer then for the deep diver wanting to know about putting the cord in at home,
yeah.
My question for her would be, is it length or width that is the issue? Because if it's width, I might do a skinny singles cord, which is just one strip.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I mean, then you could just play. I mean, you can play. It's one on one.
But I want her to be able to get the doubles. It's not pickleball if it ain't doubles. Is it okay? Who cares?
I think it's okay. I played at a friend. I went to a friend's house in Cincinnati, and she was talking up her pickleball court and her game. Again, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. I went there. I saw the court. I said, "Honey, this is not regulation." What you're doing is cute. But
it's not pickleball. We can call it something else.
Yeah.
But
see, and this is what's interesting, Blair. There are certain things that you're hardcore about. And then there are other things like I called someone's foot in the kitchen yesterday, Casey Wilson. She wasn't happy with me, but it was flagrant. It was a flagrant foul in the kitchen. And I called it, and it was kind of a game-changing call. And I know you don't make a lot of those calls. So there's things that you seem to be really relaxed about, other things that you seem really strict about. Can you tell me about your philosophy? Obviously, this is recreational, though I do want to talk to you about the pro route.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
For me, I think there are bigger fish to fry. So... I think that if you're having a fault, like a foot fault, like your foot is touching the line in the kitchen, I say that's not as big of a deal to me in recreational play. If you're going into the kitchen, like if you're going in, like you're stepping in there.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. But like, it's sort of like when you're serving and your foot's, you know, touching the service line.
Right. And in your court, June, we have to stand in, and who cares?
I never think about
whether I'm in the kitchen, which I know is a problem. I'm probably in that kitchen all the time and I'm not even aware of it because I'm not thinking about it.
So yeah, when you play a game, the line judge is watching for kitchen faults.
I see.
Not necessarily if the ball's long. Like, those are yours to call.
Oh,
those are
I
yours
see.
To call.
And if because you, we had set the children up. Now,
that was
my
a
child.
Well,
it was a disaster because BB looked at me and I said, and I thought, I'm losing her. Like, you know, like in ER when you, we're losing her. And they have to bring out. Cha-ching. She goes, I'm baking in the hot sun.
When I saw,
what? Why? And then I was like, I got to get her off this court.
Well,
and get some sugar
some
into
horrible
her.
Calls that were overruled. You had to overrule them.
Yeah, I mean, June basically yanked Gus out of there after three calls against you. They were all against
that
you.
That was hard to take.
Because
they were erroneous. He was trying to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were erroneous. And here's the interesting thing about how we all relate to the sport, right? Because I think for those of you who are still listening, who don't play or never heard of this, thank you for being here. But I think what we can all relate to is like, even when you sit down to teach someone in any sort of a new game, a card game or whatever, there are those of us that need the rules and need the structure and need everybody to behave accordingly. I'm actually one of those people.
Yeah.
I really feel safer knowing the rules of the world.
That's right. Like Lennon loves the rules.
I don't care.
Someone else keeps score.
Yeah, I love the rules because I actually then am free to have fun within them. Yeah. Whereas if it's too loosey-goosey, I'm like, well, what's anything? You know, what are the stakes?
Yeah.
Right.
And that tracks, I think, for me, it's focusing on some of the wrong things. When people are focusing on, is the serve legal? I'm thinking, rather than watching videos on how to serve properly, you should be watching videos on how to play the game because there's more to the game. Like the strategy, you should be learning how to move up to the kitchen. You should be learning the different types of shots, not focusing on the serve's going
to
come.
Although you were the one, Blair. Again, I have to push back on you. I can't believe I'm taking you to task now.
Take me.
This sport brings up, honestly, the best and the worst in us. So you're going to see both deep divers. But you were the one who initially called an illegal serve, which started Servegate at my home.
Well, yeah. Where you had to, unfortunately, your dear sister got thrown under the bus.
Yeah, dear sister. But like I never said boo about anyone's serve until Blair Beacon said, we got to keep our eyes on Mike's serve, my friend Mike, because he's too sideways. But Blair, I think you stated that to Casey and then left it to Casey to kind of deliver the news.
Don't ever do that.
I'm interested in the position you take. You have your, you know, minions doing your dirty work over here.
Well, if I were to defend myself, I think how that actually happened was we have to step it back even further because actually it was Matt McConkey who called Deanna Cerf illegal.
As we were using the phrase illegal.
Illegal. As we're going, we're up on the top deck. I don't know if you've explained the seating, you know, we're up in.
I haven't, but there's basically box seats.
Yeah. So we're in the box seats and we're heading down for the first game. And Matt pulled Deanna aside and he said,
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Wow.
And then Casey said something to me and we had a misunderstanding and she didn't know that Matt had said something to Deanna about her serve. And so she was like, I think I should just make a public announcement.
Then how did Mike get the most heat about it?
We were coming down the stairs and I did watch Mike serve and someone had already asked me about if somebody else's serve was illegal. And I saw when we were coming down, I saw Mike serve, whom I do not know. I don't even think that we've met. I haven't played with him or like, it was kind of gross. Okay, I saw him serve and I said, well, that one's illegal.
Oh, and then Matt took the heat.
And then Casey and I had a misunderstanding. And I think I thought she should say something. And I stand.
Oh, wow. We're really clearing the air. So you never, because Blair, she pulled everyone in. I mean, an announcement was made.
I saw that.
Were you there for that?
I was on my way out, but I witnessed it. And then she texted me later and she said, I think we had a misunderstanding. And I said, we absolutely did.
Because I did not know this.
Okay.
This is
groundbreaking.
This is honestly, I didn't know we were going to be breaking news. And but we are now, breaking news on this podcast.
So now I realize how two-faced this makes me look on the group text because I even really wrote does. On the group text. I said, I don't think we should be nitpicking anyone's serves. And how psychotic that must look after it looks like I tried to stage a public
It looked very like Machiavelli. I was like, what is Blair kind of like? What kind of strings is she pulling here?
Yeah, what kind of puppet master is she?
I'm relieved to hear this.
Yeah.
Because this was a definite like misunderstanding because I was starting to question leadership, you know.
But I don't think it matters. I mean, unless you're going fully overhand or you're playing in a tournament, I say figure out the game and most people will eventually learn on their own if they're doing it illegally.
No, sorry, Jess, go ahead. I feel like
I was just going to say, it's like the director, Jimmy Burrows, who is a very famous, well-known sitcom director. And he gave a note to a young director that I know, which was, sometimes you need to let ideas die on their own. You don't want to be the person, and that's really good advice in life. You don't want to be the person who's always like, no, 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 illegal serve here. Sometimes you need to let certain ideas fly, certain serves go for a while and trust that they will be figured out, you know?
Yeah. And so
you don't want to be that person.
And I try so hard not to be. That's a great struggle in life of mine, I'd say.
Well, the good news is Casey took all the brunt of the heat for that. So we can just let her take that. And you know what? She deserves it because she slapped a chocolate croissant out of my hand like I was a child and said, you've had enough.
Blair, do you think at this point now, I'm 42, I've obviously only been playing for a few months and I have a broken toe. But do you think like you're looking at Jess and I right now and I'm really only playing once a week and then I play with the kids during the week. Mm-hmm. the path to going pro at this stage of the game, what might it look like? Because I do see pro players now. Obviously, they're getting sponsorships. And I know there's a very famous mother and daughter player you were telling us about. I want to talk about that. But what is, because the sport is really only gained popularity so recently. So I guess I'm just curious, like, if them, why not me? And what,
right.
Yeah. And why not you? So what is the, what does that look like?
So
are you heading there?
Are you making a run in 2024? Like, what are we talking about here?
I'd like to be a pro by the time I'm going to be a senior pro.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, honestly, like,
that's
this
great. Imagine
everything.
Living your retirement that way.
This
like
changes
Costa
everything.
Rica, Florida, like traveling that circuit. Wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, staying fit.
Imagine how good your legs will look by then. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Those calf muscles will just be popping.
Yeah. And I just changed from pants to shorts. So I got to keep playing.
Wonderful. Yeah, I don't want anybody in pants, as I've said. That's my one rule. And I'm really focusing too much on the fashion, I think. But I would like people to be judged for their looks on the court. Let's pull something together.
No, that's fair. And Casey and I have been talking about shorts and how we want to leave the pants behind. And
yeah,
I do have to give it up to Casey for kind of giving me that nudge. And
yeah. I want to see your legs. I want to see everybody's legs.
You know,
to
try to, like, we're wrestling toward the light. So you want to go senior pro. Tell me more.
Okay. Well, so my thoughts on the two of you and your path is I would say we're all actually similar comps. As in,
you're only saying that because you're a guest on our podcast.
No. I'm only more months in than you, and I've put in more time than you. But from where we're starting, I would say we're all comparable. Like, if we all played together,
I'm blushing.
I mean, you're both athletic.
I'm blushing.
Yeah. So but I think the difference here is, well, and June, your sportsmanship to me is very high. Like, you were paired, you both were paired with new players yesterday. Yeah. And you kept your cool. A lot of people, they get hot-headed when they lose.
This is where Jessica and I have always talked about how we relate as athletes.
Really care. Yeah.
We
don't
give it everything, and we never forget what the fuck we're doing, which is playing a game.
And that's what separates. Yeah, and that's how I could tell you're an actual athlete. Because when I play with people who get all bent out of shape, I'm like,
You don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't mentally get it.
Also, don't turn on yourself. I said to Matt, I stopped Matt McConkey. I said, I want to hear I'm sorry one more time. I said, we have put too many dollars into therapy to hear those words. I don't want to hear I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I don't want to hear I fucked up. That is not the energy I want on this court.
Same. No.
Never forget, we're out here. We're alive. The sun is shining. We get to play a game.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And also, this is what I was trying to explain to Gus about wearing his uniform when he goes to, like, his games and stuff. I'm like, you step onto that court, you have a responsibility as an athlete. People are looking to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you take that seriously, and you take yourself seriously, and you have fun, and you never lose your cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that, and I actually find that it's usually men that are losing their cool.
I didn't know.
Everywhere I go, that's not on your court. That's every court.
No, I agree. I think the men on my home court don't like driveway courts. I like to be identified as a home court.
Yeah.
I think the men play very beautifully in terms of. And it's actually, I've seen some of the women lose their cool.
Okay. So more about what I think separates you guys and going pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is.
Okay. So you're saying that we could all go pro at this point.
Yeah. We could all be pros when we're seniors, but I think that.
What do you mean when we're seniors? Okay. Go on.
Okay. Well, I mean, right now, most of the pros are just a little bit younger than us, like the really good pros, but they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
But I think that you got to do your homework. You need to watch more videos and learn.
Okay.
some of the strategy. It's
I don't know any of the strategy.
Yeah.
And was always my Achilles heel in tennis, is I was just trying to get it back over that net. I wasn't ever thinking placement. I was down, and that's what's going to separate.
And Blair has said before, though, when all, you know, at sometimes we do just have to get it over the net.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the game is not tennis. It's not these long shots hitting it back and forth. The game is actually played at the kitchen line. And your goal should be to the kitchen line with your partner. And if your partner goes back, you got to go with them. And if your partner stays back, then you got to stay back with them. And if you're someone who
stays... I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if you're someone who's staying back, you're kind of fucking up your partner. Because...
Okay. Preach, lady, yeah. Preach and say it. Speak it loudly. Because
I do think, and I've tried to explain this to Paul because we play doubles tennis together. And I'm like, let go of that. Someone's at the net and someone's back. Like, we need to be moving together. It's not like you cover the front, I cover the back.
That's mm-hmm. what I thought it was.
No, it's as if there's a 6-foot rope connecting the two of you. So one scoots sideways, the other moves with
That's
you.
That's beautiful. That's and beautiful. So
it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
what a dance. When you see them dance together.
And the other key is just knowing when it's safe to move up. Safely move up. So if you're back there cranking it, you can't move up. You can't move up until you hit a drop into the kitchen.
Oh, I had no idea. God damn it. I'm learning more in this.
You intuited that though, Jess. You may not have known that, but your natural instincts were doing that when I played with you last week. You knew that if it was bouncing too high for them, you were still staying back.
You have to understand, being recently diagnosed with ADHD, I'm only living in the moment. I'm not thinking about the past or the future. Okay, that could hold me back. But on the right medication, who knows? We're not there
yet. So you're saying we put in another 20 years?
I'm fine with this as a retirement plan. I'm fine with this.
Honestly, I thought senior was 55.
Then we're close.
I'm closer than I want to be, but...
It's hard. It's both great news and terrible news that we are...
I just don't know, like I'm 40. So like, I just don't know that I can get good enough in the next year to play with the 23-year-olds that are already there.
I have such an inflated sense of self.
Mm. That's something I struggle with too, because I see people playing and I think, well, I can beat them. I get my ass handed to me.
My toe is broke.
But I don't mind it. I take it as good. That's where I stand. I needed to know that. But I've made like a guy friend come with me to play these guys that look like they're pros and will get destroyed. And I say, well, thank you. And my friend
thank you so much.
Yeah, he's humiliated. He's down on himself. And
Oh, no. There's no place for that.
Not in pickleball.
Unless you have money riding on it. That's the only time we should get down on ourselves.
I played in a tournament this summer and I did win the women's doubles. I got a gold medal.
And I don't know why I didn't introduce you with that.
I mean, that's why you're not wearing the medal.
I should have.
Is that because you came, I think, to my house right after that tournament. So Jess, I did see her with the medal on.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a thrill.
And I also played the next day. I played in the mixed doubles and I played in the advanced, which is like pros. And we played against the pros from Riviera Country Club.
Oh, and I know them.
Okay. And it was so much fun. They were better than us, but they weren't destroying us. And that was like a real like check of like, this is where I stand and I can hang. But yeah, they beat us in 3 games. We beat them 1 of 3.
Blair, let me ask you this. Is it really nice to have something to focus on other than your career? Because this is the first time I've had a hobby since I was 10.
Yeah, same. It's an obsession. And because I think all three of us grew up playing sports, I assume.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's fun to play sports on like my own. Like I'm playing for myself. I'm not playing because my parents want me to be good at it and I need to prove it to somebody. I find myself trying harder now than I did when I was younger. 'Cause there's like a weird pressure. So it's like, I'm doing this to get as good as I can for me.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, and then I'll sell it and I'll make my rent. Mm-hmm. Or like, gotta work out so I'm healthy. What a snooze.
Yeah.
What a revelation that you could actually work up a sweat. First of all, that I could sweat at all because I didn't think I have sweat glands. That I could sweat and actually have fun and feel energized and joyful whilst doing it. That is a revelation.
And it's something that you can noticeably get better at without, yes. like, you yeah. you can always, there's always room to improve. So it's not like I learned this thing, now I can do it. It's like, oh, I learned this thing. And then there's just more and more to uncover. And the game is evolving. So we can evolve with the game.
Blair, you really, you know, inspired so many of us.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is a pyramid scheme and it is so strange though. You know, I have said to Jess before, I'm like, I can't believe we weren't playing pickleball over the pandemic when it was like kind of a perfect time. But at the same time, it's like, I do think it comes into your life when you're ready for it.
Yeah.
You know,
when you're ready.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not a moment before.
Blair.
What a treat. Is there anything else to say before we wrap up? This has been such a pleasure. You know, it is really, the community piece of it is so important to me. And I really so appreciate you. Also, you know, I think you do wear your leadership in this space quite beautifully, actually.
Wow.
And I
very
encourage
humble.
You to step into that, you know, and know that we do look to you. The community looks to you, you know, for guidance.
Wow. Yeah. And I want to say to you that you feel free to keep me in check. I appreciate personal feedback. So if I'm kind
you
of
don't
overstepping,
need it. June does. Wow.
I do. And I won't take it. You know, and I know, I know I haven't yet asked you for feedback on my game, but I do feel with the broken toe, I'd like to save that for another. That's a follow-up episode.
I know you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to say the only thing that you two need to do is learn the moving up, the moving back, the movement. Otherwise, yeah, you're good.
Great.
The other thing I was going to say is thank you both for having me. I can't tell you how much it means to me to be known for my pickleball.
Like, this means more than any professional yeah. achievement. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's really special.
I think
yeah, all I that you. Work has paid off.
I think I yeah. told you, Jess, that Kate, when Casey first told me she was getting into it, she's like, you know, Blair got me into it, you know, Blair, Blair, Blair. And she said, like, Blair identifies more than anything else, like sister, actor, writer. Like, it's like her first identity is pickleball player.
Yeah. It's pickleball.
Pickleball won't ever let you down. That's the thing. It will always be there for you. Your career, your romantic relationships, everything
yes,
can fall away.
Yeah.
But pickleball will be there for you.
Yeah. If you guys were here describing my work the way that you're describing my pickleball, I would be embarrassed. I would be like, yeah. stop. Pickleball? I'm like,
bring it.
Go.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. I love that.
Well, Blair, where can we find you? Honestly, as a pickleball player, first and foremost, where can we find you as, you know, in all your other creative endeavors? Because I'm sure the deep divers will want to know more about you. So what's the best place to follow all things Blair?
Well, all of my social media only exists as Instagram and it's private. So okay. Nowhere.
Okay. You're not going to get on her.
The other place people could find me is they could listen to our podcast called Fed Up, yes. Wondery podcast.
People
you can find it on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you so much, Blair.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, guys. What a treat.
See you on the court.
Yeah, we'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on a deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on a deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.